But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verse 18 and 19 also. This is in the context of church discipline. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And then Luke chapter 17, 3 and 4. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brethren trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, we need your spirits working within your word to convict, to encourage, to rebuke where the spirits sees fit in the teaching of Christ's doctrine here at Bethel Baptist Church. We just pray that your spirit would be with us, that it would guide us and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Luke 17:3, we see the phrase that expresses the importance of this subject. Take heed to yourself. The meaning of the term is to have, to hold the mind or ear towards something, to pay attention. It's also a nautical term. It means to hold a ship in a direction to sail towards. It means to hold on to one's course towards a place. And the New Testament is used only figuratively to apply one's mind to something, attend to, give heed to, and used as follows. Unto oneself, meaning to take heed, beware. In the church setting, we must take heed to take care of offenses. That is very important that we understand when there is offenses within the church, it is our job as Christians that are in a community of like-minded believers to make sure that we're taking care of those offenses. Why? Why? First, because it's impossible, but the offenses will come. It's impossible, but that offenses will come. Let's look at verse number 1 of chapter 17 of Luke. Then said he unto disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. So, offenses means and is used in the New Testament figuratively in a moral sense. It is concerned mainly with the fact that it produces particular behavior which can lead to ruin. Many times we are shocked when problems come into our church. Instead of being watchful and taking heed, realizing offenses will come, we start questioning the church and the people's love for us when those offenses come. Christian, it's impossible for you to go through life, even in the church life, where there won't be an offense that comes to you. We shouldn't be shocked when people don't live up to their position in Christ. You don't always live up to your position in Christ. There could be some offenses that happen to you in that people don't even mean to create or don't even mean to do. And as soon as they find out that they have caused this offense, they will apologize and make it right to you. However, we should not be shocked when offenses come. We should not be shocked when people mistreat us. We go through life understanding that offenses will come. So why do we take care of offenses in the church, or why is it needful that we protect and make sure we're dealing in a godly way with offenses in the church? because it's impossible for there not to be offenses. So don't be shocked when offenses come. Second, because judgment is inevitable to those who do not repent from offenses. Luke 17, 1 and 2. It is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. So we then see that church people are to become active in taking care of trespasses to err in action in respect to a prescribed law, to commit error, to do wrong or to sin. Especially because we need to protect the younger ones within this church. By the way, adults, our kids are watching you, and they are seeing when you're not living consistent to your proclaimed beliefs. So be very careful that you're not causing offense to the little ones. You know, why is it so much through the epistle that they're talking about lying, they're talking about jealousy, they're talking about covetousness, they're talking about all these inward sins that have these outward actions that are happening within the church? Why are they talking about fornication? Why are they talking about all these things? Because those things are something that are happening in the New Testament church at that time. And they're understanding that if not taken care of, you're setting a precedence for the next generation that you, as adults, will have to answer to. Parents, are we taking a care of offenses within our homes? Older people, are you taking care of offenses in a godly way within the church? So how do we take care of offenses? First, we are to rebuke. We are to rebuke. Take heed to yourself if thy brother trespass against thee. Verse 3 of Luke 17. Rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. So rebuke. One may rebuke another without bringing that one to conviction of any fault. Perhaps because there may not have been any fault, or because there was a fault, but the rebuke was insufficient and ineffectual to bring the offender to acknowledge it. Hence, by implication, to admonish strongly with urgency, authority, to urge upon, charge strictly, the idea of censure being implied. What does that mean? We're going to have to, at times, say what the offense is, go to the Bible and describe why it was an offense according to the Bible and what the Bible says to do to deal with an offense. Second, if they are at fault, they must repent. I hear stories of Christians that refuse to repent when a wrongdoing is brought before them. They even sometimes admit, I did wrong, but I will not repent of it. Their pride gets in the way. Well, for us to be able to take care of offenses and to have true forgiveness and have a spirit of brotherhood and a unity to serve Christ, there needs to be a repentant, broken spirit about us. Now, our flesh will always take accusations against ourselves and try to defend our actions. At times, by the way, in any offense, none of us are 100% perfect all the time. I'm very wary of people when there is something that is happening and they tell me, before God, I have done nothing wrong. Well, there's a problem with that. You're human. You've done some things wrong. And when you're offended at somebody and you don't give them the opportunity to repent, you're really harming the church. And when you are brought with an offense and all you can do is defend yourself instead of seeing that person's perspective and acknowledging the wrong and where you were wrong and asking forgiveness, then you're also hurting the church. Now, remember in Matthew chapter 6 when they're talking about forgiveness. If we forgive our brother the trespasses, why is it so important that we forgive brother their trespasses against us? Because if we don't forgive our brothers their trespasses, then we have a heavenly Father that will not forgive us of our trespasses. And we're alienating ourselves by our decisions from the full grace that God wants to pour out upon us through His Spirit. And we're hindering and quenching the Spirit in our midst when we're not when we're not taking care of offenses. So, if there's a fault, they must repent. All right, so when there is a fault and you go, there's some steps that you need for reconciliation and repentance. First, you must go to the brother that offended alone and try to reconcile. Go and tell him this, his fault between thee and him alone. If he hears thee, thou didst gain of thy brother. See, the problem is when we have offenses against other people, we go and tell everybody except the person that we have offended. Now, why do we do that? Well, because we want as many people on our side to say, yes, you've been offended. And we want people's pity instead of God's provision. We should never want people's pity over God's provision. God's provided a way for us to take care of offenses. And the way that we take care of offenses is going one-on-one with that individual at first and giving him the opportunity to ask forgiveness of that offense. How many times? Till 7 times? Till 70 times 7. Well, this person is always irritating and always offending me. Well, first of all, check yourself, because perfect peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Right? So if you're easily offended, maybe you, that's a you problem. All right? Secondly, if there is a way to bring that brother back to reconciliation to God and his relationship with God for the betterment of the body, which is the church, then no matter how many times he offends, if he truly repents, you are to forgive. We don't have an option here. We don't have an option here. Now, I've already described that there's some things under the church that we take care of. Any criminal act that the Bible gives the government a right to take care of. Am I clear on that? Because we live in a day and age that good is being declared bad, and bad is being declared good. Right? So our government says that we can't say things that are right and true and honest. Well, I'm not going to report you to the government because you're doing things that are right and true and honest. Everybody understand that according to the Word of God? I will report you to the government if you're doing things that are wrong and wicked, and the government has been given rights by God to take care of those problems. All right? So sexual harassment, physical abuse, those get reported to the police. Everybody understand that? Suicide threats get reported to the police at Bethel Baptist Church. I'm clearly making that public. So if you're a wife and your husband is beating you and you come to me, I'm going straight to the police with you to put that in record. If there's any type of, even with me, if somebody comes and accuses me, the best way you can protect me is going to the police together to make sure that I'm innocent. And if I'm not innocent, then I deserve to go to jail. But you understand that? Transparent, straight to what we need to do. However, there's offenses done in the church that we are to bear as a church. So how do we do that? So first, if we go to the brother and he repents of his offense, great, we've regained a brother. All right? But if he doesn't listen, then we take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of one or two or three witnesses, every word may be established. All right? So, Acts chapter 6, 1 through 7. Acts chapter 6, 1 through 7. I'm giving some direction on who you should take. by going to Acts chapter 6, 1 through 7. And a little bit of a change as your pastor, a little bit of a change what I would feel more comfortable with when dealing with offenses. Okay, there's an offense that has happened here in Acts chapter 6. Let's read it and find out how the apostles dealt with the offense. 6:1, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministry of the word. And that saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, and a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Now, we're having a business meeting on October 29th, and I'll announce this on Sunday, and start announcing it. We're going to be bringing Brother Ron Persan up to vote on as a church to bring into deaconship. Why? Because I want 2 deacons. Why? Because if there's offenses, I want there to be 2 people to deal with offenses within the church. What was the problem? Well, there were some widows that weren't being taken care of. How did the apostles deal with it? Did they go to those widows and take care of the problem themselves? No, they had deacons that went and ministered to the offenses of the offended party. How did they do that? And if you study out these names, guess what? Many of these names are Grecian. They're Gentile names. So somebody from that people group would understand the needs of that people group were chosen out but most important, doesn't matter what people group, most important, they were filled with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. That's what's important. The Holy Spirit has identified himself upon these people. You can look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 to see the qualifications of deacons, and that's what we should do. We should be bringing deacons in to take care of problems. Okay, so this is what's going to happen at Bethel when an offense comes. If you come to me and you say, Pastor James, why am I saying this? Because I dealt with this within this last year, and I'm trying to give us a path of how to deal with it. If you come to me and you say, Pastor James, so-and-so has offended me, you know what my first question is going to be? Have you talked to so-and-so? If you say, no, I have not talked to so-and-so, I will say, you have a week to talk to so-and-so before, or you're going to forgive him, or you're going to let me know that the problem is taken care of, or we're going to get involved. So, what do? If they cannot figure it out, and they've talked to so-and-so, whoever you have an offense with, and you guys can't figure it out, you'll call the church, and you'll have a meeting with the 2 deacons of the church to figure it out, and if it still can't be figured out, we'll bring it before the church. But no more am I going to deal with, so-and-so did this to me, Pastor James. Well, you got to talk to so-and-so. And then I just leave it alone. No, we're going to take offenses seriously here at church. Why? Because we're commanded by the Bible to take offenses seriously. There's no playing with offenses anymore. We are going to make sure that offenses are dealt with correctly and biblically. If there's gossip when it comes to offenses, then I'm going to ask you to leave the church. I'm being very serious if there's not repentance, because there's nothing worse for a church than gossip. Said Pastor James, why are you bringing this up? Because we just had to deal with a situation where somebody didn't take care of an offense, dealt with it wrong, and then I got accused of not loving them. So, we want to provide correct biblical guidelines to how to take care of offenses. I also have pastor friends that are dealing with what they're dealing with in the ministry with people. It's unbelievable. I don't know these people, but I'll get calls from a few of my pastor friends, and my goodness, the silliness that Christians get mad at people for is unbelievable. We also have in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 through 8. I'm not trying to come across cocky or egotistical to you. I'm trying to come across serious that we want to do things in a biblical way, and we want to understand that offenses will come. Especially if God blesses us and we see more people come. Well, with more people comes more problems. I'm pretty convinced with the people that are here tonight that there's not going to be a lot of gossip and offenses, okay? But what I am sure of is if God blesses us and new people come in, we better be ready to have a path of reconciliation for people. 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 8. There any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgment of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are at least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren, but brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbeliever. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. What does that mean? Well, we have... And I'm trying to be very careful how I phrase this, but in the same way, let's take an employee-employer situation that go to the same church, okay? So employers are very afraid to hire people from the church. Why? Because people don't understand that when you're out in the business world, you have to do things according to what is lawful. There's things you have to do as a business owner to make sure that you're obeying the law, all right? And sad fact is many church people that are employed by church employers try to take advantage of their Christian relationship. That's wrong. That's wrong. And employers try to take sometimes advantage of employees because of their Christian relationship. That's wrong. You treat each other fairly in the business world. If I am hired by a church member, I should do everything I can to work the best I can for that church member because he's my brother in Christ, and I want to give him the best. I want to give anybody the best, but especially show extra love to the brethren. And then as a business owner, you should have the same attitude towards a church member. But so many times we get all bent out of shape and bitterness comes into our hearts and we try to destroy people instead of taking care of, in a biblical way, offenses. And then shame on us because we don't think that an employer is treating us correctly. We take that employer to the law as Christians. That's a shame. We should be willing to lose money rather than take others to law when they're our Christian brethren. That's what it's teaching here. So, are we going to take this seriously? The answer is not to say, you know what, I'm just not going to ever hire another church member because there are too much problems. No, let's, as a church, make sure that we're dealing in such a way that we're ready for offenses and to take care of offenses in a biblical way so we can see repentance and restoration in our midst. Third, verse 17 of Luke, the Luke passage is, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as heathen man and a publican. So in the Matthew 18 passage, if you bring it before the church, you bring it before a brother and there's an offense and he will not take care of it, and then you bring other people as witnesses to that offense and they won't take care of it, we're to bring it to the church and we're to discipline them out of the church. Deuteronomy 19:15 says, one witness shall not rise up against a man for an iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. So for establishment of a matter, you need two witnesses. So if there's an offense within a church and two individuals can't take care of it, then two more individuals are called to take care of it. And if it still cannot be taken care of, then there must be action from the church body. Not just from the pastor, from the church body. That means every member of the church must treat him as a sinner and a publican. Why? Well, for the fourth reason, reconciliation. Why do we discipline members out of the church? Now, we don't discipline many members out of the church. I think there's been two in the last 10 years that I can think of that we've had to bring before the church and discipline. One. So, and thank God it doesn't happen very often here at Bethel since I've been here. So, before me, that's in the past. But since I've been here, I think there's only been one need of church discipline. So, reconciliation. What do I want to see? I want to see reconciliation from an individual. Matthew 18:17-20. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. So this isn't talking about the salvation of a person. This is talking about church discipline. All right? I don't believe that we can curse people and anathematize people to hell. I think we deal with a Christian in a Christian way and say, you are out of this local assembly of like-minded believers that represents the body of Christ to their community. And then it gets into, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So William MacDonald explains the verse this way. The question arises, how large must an assembly be before it can bind or loose as described above? The answer is, two believers may bring such matters to God in prayer with the assurance of being heard. While verse 19 may be used as a general promise of answer to prayer, in this context, it refers to prayer concerning church discipline. When used to in connection with the collective prayer in general, it must be taken in light of all other teachings on prayer. For instance, our prayers must be, first of all, conformed to God's revealed will. In faith, it must be in sincerity. Verse 20 should be interpreted in light of its context. It does not refer primarily to the composition of a New Testament church in the simplest form, nor a general prayer meeting, but to a meeting where the church seeks the reconciliation of two Christians separated by some sin. It may legitimately be applied to all meetings of believers where Christ is the center, but a specific type of meeting is in view here. So, when we're meeting together to reconcile two sinners together, there needs to be prayer. And we need to ask God. And it's according to God's will that reconciliation happen. To meet in His name means His authority, an acknowledgement of all He is, and an obedience to His word. No group can claim to be the only ones who meet in His name. If so, His presence would be limited to a small segment of His body on earth. Wherever two or three are gathered in recognition of Him as Lord and Savior, He is there in the midst of them. So as we think about that, and as we ponder that, I'm done, because I don't want to get into my next section of lead us not into temptation. We'd only get halfway through it. But as we think about offenses within the church, gossip is not an option, right? Gossip is not an option. If you're in a place of leadership within the church, obviously you have to answer to God for some things. And when there's problems, you have to go to individuals and tell them the problem between them and you alone. Now, we see that the apostles in Acts chapter 15, when letting the Gentiles into the church because the Holy Spirit fell upon them, had meetings together, apostolic meetings. I'm okay with pastoral meetings with their deacons on certain subjects and letting the pastor know when there's problems in the church, because I have to answer to God for the problems in the church. But what I'm not for is the downplaying of others to make people join up and be on your side to attack somebody else. That is wicked sin. And it's not something that should be tolerated amongst any of our church people. If somebody starts to talk to you about somebody else, you say, I don't even want to hear it. You need to talk to them. And you need to take care of it with them. And if they can't take care of it with them, then they set up a meeting with the deacons, with the two deacons, to take care of it. And it's taken care of that way. And if it still can't be taken care of, then we bring it before the church membership. So, we want to do things in a biblical way so that we can have reconciliation. And that's what our aim is. Reconciliation. No matter what sin we do, God will forgive us if we repent. All right? Each sin has a different worldly, like, if I lied to you, I need to repent. All right? And that can be taken care of between me and you. If I abuse you or attack you physically, then obviously the government has to get involved and I have to probably do time for that. So, especially as a preacher, I'm definitely doing time for that. But everybody understands within the church setting what is not physical abuse, mental, sexual abuse needs to be taken care of between the church. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. God, probably not the nicest message to preach on, but a practical message that needs to be touched on. So we're reminded of how to deal with problems within the church. God, help protect our church. Protect us from the enemies without and from the enemies within. God, we pray that there is no enemies within the church, but if there is one that is getting bitter and wants to gossip, may you convict them and may they be reconciled to you. In Jesus' name, amen.